Awesome. So I've one more fun project to share, largely because it's around, like, we're hearing all of these different projects that are related in terms of how can technology actually support local communities. And I think one of the things that we're starting to explore is also, like, what is the collaborative substrate in which these things can work together? And so I think one fun project that I'm working on together with a bunch of folks here is was what we're just calling OakLog for now. But it's effectively taking the... looking at community calendars as an example of a type of technology that, if we have a shared infrastructure, we can actually start building off of tools that support a bunch of different use cases and can be replicated to, you know, to Jared's point. So where this started is I'm part of the founding team of the Oakland Review of Books, which is a local alt weekly in Oakland. And as one of the things that we do is curate a community calendar of literary and cultural events. And a lot of this falls on Martina, who does this work. And it is a huge pain in the butt. So she goes through and checks every website of relevant calendar locations online. She'll go and check the specific calendar event. She'll go and pull that up. She'll copy paste that into a Google Doc, and then eventually we'll publish this. And she's just doing this as a volunteer work for 6 to 8 hours a week. So a bunch of work that she has to do. And so I think one of the ways that we can think about how to start applying this kind of technology, there's a lot of people already doing this care work in community and organizing in community. This is just one small example. And one of the things that we can do with the tools that we have is actually make those things way easier, right? So can we take the folks that are already doing that work and actually make that, take some of that labor away? And so, you know, with some other friends are in this same group of local relational technologists, we whipped up a quick Discord bot. So this is within a Discord of our community. You know, folks see it's kind of like Slack or, you know, just a group chat. And now instead of, you know, checking out each one of these calendars, we'll send the Instagram link or whatever that might be, and it'll digest it into a database that will then output it into the shape that Martina needs for publishing the calendar. And part of what's interesting here is it's not only saving time, we're actually starting to create infrastructure in between what she's doing that can be shared, right? So that can start being a shared community calendar that other people can build on top of. And it turns out that lots of people have this same problem. We're meeting lots of people that are, you know, including, you've heard from Humphrey and Josh, have both been doing this in their own neighborhoods. And so they're great examples. The mayor's office of San Francisco has created one of these for the city of San Francisco. There's a bunch of other news organizations that are doing this. There's a lot of community stewards and local event spaces that are doing this. And actually, everybody wants to do this together. They want to collaborate on the shared data. They want those shared tools. And there's a bunch of people that are actually building the infrastructure to do that. And so we're bringing those folks together. And, you know, as we have these kind of examples of projects that are in the similar space, how do we start actually pulling them into something that allows others to do it in their own ways or in similar ways in other communities? So, I think is a good stopping point to see if there's any questions of folks more generally. But I think part of what we're trying to do here is show that there's lots of projects that are working off of this same idea of a digital commons, and what are the ways that we can support that and support the work that's being done in technology that it actually looks quite a bit different than what it looks like today. So I'll stop there and see what folks think.
Questions?
Hello, this has been really inspiring from all of you, because I think community initiatives like this and recreating what communities might have done before the internet, actually, which was to engage much more locally anyway, and actually getting back to that, I think is really pretty amazing. So just enormous applause from me, I'm sure, from everybody. So please come give them a round of applause. Yeah. Okay. I do have one question. Specifically, you mentioned that a lot more software is locally produced, rather than the big tech companies. And I wondered, this you mentioned early on in the presentation.
Well, it's starting to be possible for that.
Starting
to be
possible. Yeah. I wondered what the results or how that software differs from the global tech. Is it better? Is it more robust? Or is it just more appropriate to local communities? What are the signs of locally produced software? How does it differ?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and I'll maybe hand it off to Josh too, because I think he's got some great examples in The Outer Sunset, where there's lots of these kind of niche use cases. One we were just talking about is there's a bunch of surfers in The Outer Sunset that need to check the waves in the same place, and what might we do to help them do that so that each one of them doesn't have to go and look for themselves, right? So that might not be something that a tech company is going to build for that use case. So I think those, anything that would serve a much smaller population than today would be economically viable to do that with a professional software developer. I think one of the big questions here is that we actually don't know all those things that might happen. And so if you put the tools to build that software in the hands of those communities that actually have those needs, and whether it's trying to find local food sources when SNAP is going down, there's lots of folks that want to do that work. Now it makes it much, much easier to do that. And I think we'll see a lot more of the, like, if you make those tools available, I think you'll build really different things. Yeah.
It's such a good question. I love that use case. We're going to build that this week, and so I'll report back. I think I love the question. I think the words that are coming to mind for me, because it's still early, like, it's very much the norm to use something that someone else built, not something built in your neighborhood. Like, it's just, we're so far from that right now. But as we go, what I'm sensing is that it feels fit for purpose. It feels like familiar, like it's of the place. You might even know the person who built it. You can send them a text if you have an idea about it, and it might change the next day. I was talking about this earlier, where, like, if you think about it like a bakery, it's like right now we imagine living in a world where the only bakeries were McDonald's all over the world. And, like, how boring is that? It's pretty boring. And, like, but you'd like, you know what to expect, and economies of scale, all that. But, like, what if tech felt more like local culture? And when you, like, visited a friend, you had a whole different experience, actually, with the plurality of things there. That, I think, would be really beautiful.
Yeah, I'll add one more piece to that, which is oftentimes at the beginning of people creating software, it might look similar insofar as there's really are delivering on a user need, but the way that a lot of software is built and funded requires it to grow very, very quickly, and then to establish lock-in and enclose that community, and then to extract value from that community. And so there's this process of enchidification, right? Of, like, over time, even if it did seem to fit at that time and might look different, over time you are captured and ultimately your behavior is altered. And I think that's one of the big things that we hope can be different, is that if you're building on infrastructure that that prevents that or allows credible exit, that your identity, your networks with other people, your data are actually things that you control, your community controls, I think in the long term we'll actually end up with really different outcomes too.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, sorry. Did you want to say something first?
No, I want to hear from you.
Okay. I really appreciate the civic-mindedness of all of your motivations, and I think it's ironic that you're trying to solve a problem that can be attributed to the way in which technology has created disassociation and loneliness and isolation, and so I applaud that. I've been involved in community development for a lifetime, and the ROI that I always use is the return on involvement, which is really what you're seeking. But it's more than counting the number of people in the room or contacts. So I'm just curious of how you've begun to quantify the value proposition of this civic commons that you're developing, and certainly applaud it. I also want to add that I'm the state coordinator of Minnesota Women in Conservation, and we've just had two big events in northern rural Minnesota and in southern rural Minnesota that I was in charge of. And the turnout was phenomenal. And it was simply called Sharing Our Stories from the Field. And women are really at the forefront of climate leadership and stewardship right now. In fact, they're really in the leadership of food production as well. And so there was just this hunger for connectivity. And I'm currently trying to figure out how to make the most of that momentum to, because my mandate is to build a legacy network. So I'm learning a lot from all of you. I really appreciate this civic paradigm shift, because local first is really the way to go. So thank you.
Just to build on that, what's your name?
Burke.
Burke, just to build on what Burke said, and what was your name?
Ken.
Well, what Ken was saying earlier when he was asking about what makes local tech different, and I wanted to build off of Glenn's answer, because Glenn was saying maybe it'll eventually look different, but it starts out looking the same. I actually think it looks different at the very beginning, and going back to what Burke, you were saying, what I really love about local tech is that the people who are most impacted by it are the people who are building it, and that's what I want to see different about local tech, and I think what Josh and others were alluding to is that I want to see more women and people of color in their communities building tools for their communities, as opposed to a group of men in Palo Alto building tools that disproportionately impact the entire world. And so I think that's where I see the change happening at step zero. And if you don't see that stage, that change happen at step zero, like step one and step two aren't going to look that good. I think we all know that. So that's something I feel strongly about. And I hear what you're saying. Like, that's why I was sort of focused on success metrics. I think it does change how we look at success metrics. It's not just participation, but I think looking at the participation and the leadership and the stewardship, like I think a lot of us are talking about neighborhood stewardship and community stewardship of our projects. It, like, I think being able to communicate that effectively through the storytelling you mentioned, I think that I think ties into what you were asking too. Like, that is how it looks and feels different and has a different impact as well.
I might just jump in and say, I think a big part of it too, in terms of quote metrics or ways to start thinking about this, is actually this gathering here. This is a great example of how it's already starting. And another part of it, I think too, is at a base, education. Students, you know, talking with Glenn and meeting you all and having my students here at Dominican start to learn about this now as it's starting to get going, that this is actually a possibility. You could actually do these kinds of things. You guys now from Cambodia getting exposed to this, all of a sudden we've got sort of the germs of things going forward. So this is just to say I'm really excited about how things are going right now. Other questions? Comments? Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks so much for all of your presentations. I think firstly, I might have to weigh in on the Arizmendi. I'd go for cheese board from a Berkeley guy, so that'd be my daily pizza. I remember it was about 15 years ago or so when I left the Bay, and one of the projects that I kind of first really got excited by was just food foraging maps that we laid on top of Google Maps. But it really felt that we were really reliant on the kind of behemoths for what we could do, and the rules were sort of already there. So I like this concept where you can kind of play with the space and get really feedback from the people that are most impacted by this. I think it's very interesting to see this. I wanted to ask, though, to the Cambodians, do you feel this lack of connection, or do you feel connected in your community? Do you think the phone has changed that? Do you feel connected to people around you, or? Do you feel this also, this kind of disconnect from your local community? Do you feel that too? So it's kind of global, right, this issue. There's a lot of lessons I think we can take back, start to work on this. We have a bit of a maybe dearth of capital resources around that, but it's very interesting. So thank you very much to everybody.